Welcome to Scaling Wellness, the podcast that will give you all the tools you need to grow your wellness business and thrive in the online space. I'm your host, Caroline Kopp, Pilates teacher and health coach, turned business mentor for wellness experts, teachers and coaches just like you. This is the podcast where we uncover the strategies, stories and tools to help you to scale your wellness business, build impactful digital products and create the time, money and freedom that you crave. If you're ready to grow your online presence, make a bigger impact with your clients and in the wellness industry, and uncap your revenue, you are in the right place. Let's dive in.
Hello there, and welcome back to another episode of the Scaling Wellness Podcast. It is always so great to be here with you. Happy Monday. Happy Bank Holiday Monday. I hope you all have a lovely day planned and you have hopefully put aside a little bit of time to listen to this. So welcome if you have, and thank you for joining me. We're talking today about memberships in wellness. And this probably is by far the most asked question I get is, you know, what do I do about the membership that I've already built? I've had a membership for 5 years. In lots of cases, it's coming from the COVID times. You know, how do I grow it? I had, 30 or 40 people join straight away, and since then, nobody's joined. If anyone does join, they leave quite quickly. Although I have 30 or 40 people that have never left and are just paying every month. What do I do with those people? How do I add more people? How do I charge more? What else can I add to make it more exciting and more fun? Really and truly, memberships get so much questions around them. And so I thought I'd do a session today around memberships and how they actually can work. I think sometimes maybe it comes across that I am anti-memberships, but I'm really not anti-memberships. If it's the appropriate delivery model for the transformation that you are creating, then memberships can work really, really well. But what we need to make sure that we are doing is we're choosing the model that fits the transformation, not the other way around. And I think most wellness experts create a membership because they want to create a video library. And that is not the right way to be thinking about it. So we're going to go through today why they don't work and what you can do to make them work. And really, memberships are not the problem. It's not that it's a membership. That's not the reason why it's not selling. That's not the reason why new people aren't coming in. The reason is because you're not doing it properly. Slap on the back of your wrists, guys, because you're not doing it properly. That did not sound how I wanted it to sound. You are offering something that maybe isn't quite right. So let's have a look at what that could look like. Now, the first thing is, and I've said this over and over, they're too low priced. Now, straight away, when I see a membership that is priced, 10, 9, 15, 17, and then people say to me, I might up the price and I might put it to £23 a month. It's like, guys, it's not going to make any difference. If someone's going to pay 19, they're going to pay 23. It's not enough of a difference to make any difference or any impact to you even. And so the problem with a low ticket offer like that is that you need a huge audience. And so unless you have a huge audience, do not try and sell something for a low ticket. Because what will happen is that with everyone's audience, whether that be your social audience, your email list, you will have a conversion percentage. So it's likely that in the online space, you will convert around 3-5% of your audience. So if you are selling something for £10, and you've only got 100 people on an email list, only 3-5 of those people are likely to join it. Now, that means to you £30-50 a month. And so it's crazy to be charging £10 for something. If you had charged £300, those people would then be paying between £300-500. So you can see how the difference, it makes such a massive difference to your bottom line when you charge appropriately for the audience size that you have. And yes, you can grow your audience, but it's a process. It's not something that's going to happen overnight. And so if the first outcome you are looking for as a business owner is to have more freedom, have more time to yourself, be able to give up certain hours, be able to give up a part-time job, you know, create a scalable income, then a membership is not the way to start, because you need that audience and they don't get generally priced effectively or efficiently. Now, you could price it higher, and we will come back to how that could look. The second big issue, glaring issue I see with memberships is that most people don't include a transformation in them. So there's no compelling reason for anyone to join. And certainly, even if people do join, there's no compelling reason for them to stay. Typically, when people create wellness memberships, they create access to stuff. And that access to stuff can only be low priced because you are in direct competition with YouTube. So people don't stay. They don't join because they don't see the differentiating factor. Why should they even pay £9 a month with you when they can get it for free on YouTube? So immediately you are kind of racing to the bottom. But also, even when people do join, they don't stay because they don't know what to do. They don't get results because there's no clear process. There's no clear plan. There are no milestones. There's no kind of map or route for them to follow. They've just got a load of stuff to do. So people don't stay. You don't get retention. And so those are the first two big ones: too low ticket and no clear transformation. The third one is that often I see memberships that are created that are just trying to serve too many people. Maybe it's like a general yoga membership or a general fitness membership or Pilates or bar or nutrition or meal planning. All of these things are really forgettable. And the reason for that is because there's no emotional pull. There's no reason why you're saying someone should do more meal planning or why someone should track their macros or why someone should be in the membership and have access to your yoga classes. There's no reason for them to do it. And so when you cater for everybody, it feels like it's not really for anybody. And so nobody feels that emotional, I absolutely have to be part of this pool. The fourth thing often is content overwhelm. And this is for you and it's for them. There's a constant pressure for you to add more, and there's a constant pressure for your clients to keep up. Now, when you are constantly adding more, it means that you are constantly having to film. I was working with someone recently who was doing this and spending a day a week filming new content. Whereas actually what they could be doing is just rehashing old content. And the great thing about that is that actually clients, A, they don't care, and B, they can't remember, and C, even if they do, people quite like repetition. They like reinforcement. They like going back and doing things again and checking and seeing what improvements they've made. So to give them more stuff to do just gets them or ends up making them feeling overwhelmed, and it makes them feel like they're never progressing because there's always more stuff to do. There's always more. Whereas if you reiterate content, you give them an opportunity to see how well they're doing. But also when you've got 500, 700, someone said to me the other day, I've got over 1,000 videos on my membership. Your clients cannot keep up with that. So they constantly feel like they are not getting value for money. They feel left behind and they will cancel. So your content doesn't equate to your value. If anything, it actually reduces it. The next thing is that most memberships don't really have a retention strategy. Now, this can look as simple as the onboarding process. Most people that I work with have a membership, people join, and they get no welcome, no process that walks them through, you know, how great it is to have them here. Nothing welcoming them in, nothing telling them what to do next, nothing giving them a direct path, no milestones to follow, no progression, no journey. And so the big problem with that is that they don't know what to do, so they leave. You know, people are simple creatures. They want an outcome and they want to be told the steps to get there. Because in truth, they can go onto YouTube, but the reason why that won't work for them is because YouTube doesn't give them accountability or a process or milestones or a step-by-step plan. It just gives them more stuff. And so you know, and I know, that most people we work with are not stupid. They're aware of the problem they have and they're aware of the content and the options out there. Their problem is sticking to something and knowing what to do next. And so if you don't have a retention strategy that looks like a journey for them inside your membership, they don't know what to do, so they won't stay. So let's have a think about where this takes us to. because that's all the things that you might be doing wrong. So I want to kind of take this on an upwards curve now. And let's have a look instead about all the things that you could do to make your membership work. So we're going to look at the kind of opposites of what we've just talked about, of all of those pointers. Now, this is to encourage you that I don't want you to tear down what you've created, but I do want you to build it up. I want you to transform it and shift it. And I know this can feel really scary because you've already got members inside. So if you've already got 20 or 30 or 50 people in there, it's really hard because you think, well, I'm going to offend them. I'm going to annoy them if I change things. But in truth, the answer is that you will never grow beyond that number in the condition that it's in now. What you could do is create something that ticks all of the next boxes, that is truly scalable and has potential to go way bigger than 30 to 50 people. So we can't keep something small for a small amount of people. We need to create something specific for a big amount of people. Okay, so let's start with the pricing. I want you to start to think about a high price transformation. So you could think about increasing your price, absolutely, for your membership. And I know wellness memberships that are, you know, a 6-month minimum access, that kind of thing. And then that 6 months is broken down into installments. So it's still a membership, but it's an installment plan. So it feels slightly different. And the different slant on this is often that it actually is a transformative process or program that is broken down into steps. So I would consider, what if someone stayed with me for 6 months inside my membership, what transformation specifically would they get? What end result would they be looking at? And if you can figure out what the end result is, you can work it backwards into monthly or fortnightly milestones. And that means that you can then charge for the transformation and you can break that down into payments. So even if it was an ongoing membership, you might decide that, you know what, if I sold this as a program, 6 months with me would be £1,000, in which case every month should be £150, £170, something like that. So suddenly it becomes a little bit more palatable because you're realizing that this isn't about people joining and giving them stuff to do. This is about people joining and getting a result. And I recommend, or I feel it's imperative that people actually stay for a specific amount of time. Otherwise, I can't guarantee a result. So that would be my first suggestion. The second thing is, and it's linked, these are all linked, obviously, is get really specific, painfully specific. Who is your program or membership for, and what problem do they want you to solve? The more specific you can be, the more demand you will have. I was listening to someone talk to me earlier, and she has a program that is for people who have been diagnosed with ME. So this was the first pain point, right? They've had the diagnosis, so they've got all of these concerns and issues. It's very, very clear. She's a movement specialist, so she helps people to feel stronger, feel more capable once they've been diagnosed. They can't go running, they can't go rock climbing, they can't go weight training, but they want to be able to kind of gradually build up their strength again without over-fatiguing them. So very clear transformation, very clear outcome, very clear person. She then said, but I'm worried that it's too specific. So I'm worried, could I instead be an overall health and well-being expert for women around 45. Because what she realized was a lot of the people being diagnosed in her world were about that age, but she didn't feel comfortable going that niche. Now, can you feel how different those offers are? Health and wellness expert for women over 45, or a strength building coach for women who have been diagnosed with ME. Can you feel how much more specific the second is than the first? The first is, could be anything. No one's going to pay for anything. And if they do, they're going to pay a really low price. What people want is specific outcomes. And if they don't want specific outcomes, they will go to a local class. They will go to the gym down the road. When people are coming online, they are looking for a tailored, precise, transformative outcome. So the second option, when she starts talking about the woman who's in midlife, perimenopause, been diagnosed with ME, needs to build her strength, wants to build her strength, but doesn't want to overfatigue herself. You can really get into the detail of what that transformation is going to look like, how to deliver it, how to sell it, how to market it. It becomes very, very simple. So be brave, be bold, and go to the point of pain. The third thing is, again, linked. Don't create a library for people. Create a journey. We need to see progression. We need to know milestones. We need to know whether we're at the start or the finish or the middle. We need to be able to identify ourselves. Your members want to be able to say, you know, I'm at this point. I have achieved X and I'm now at Y, but I'm aiming for Z. So there needs to be a map. There needs to be a process so people can feel that they're moving forwards and they're making changes. And if that doesn't happen, they will leave. So we need to make sure that we are always kind of showing them how far they've come, but also showing them what's still out there for them, what's still on the horizon, what they still haven't quite got to yet, but is within their grasp. The next thing is focus on support elements in your membership, not just content. We as wellness experts are very comfortable with the content, but what we actually need for our clients is to wrap around care, accountability, coaching, community, support, metrics, data. How can we map things out? How can we track things for our clients? In a world where content is free, support is what people are paying for online. So you need to be thinking about the support elements of your membership. And then finally, if you are wanting to do a membership, but you're uncomfortable with raising your prices too high, your first job is going to be to build an audience. You need people in your world. Now, that said, you absolutely can grow an audience and sell at the same time. And that's what I do with my members. We work on growing an audience and converting the audience, growing the audience and converting the audience. So we can do that through conversion events, through collaborations, through partnerships, through social media. The audience is your engine. So if you have a membership that is not growing, I want you to be looking at how many new leads you are bringing in every month. Because if you don't have that blood coming into your business, that oxygen flowing through it in the form of leads, your membership will not grow. It comes down to data. It comes down to stats, right? If 100 people come in every month and we know that 10 of them join, then we know that if we want 100 people joining our membership each month, then we need to bring in 1,000 leads. It becomes really simple, repeatable, scalable data. Not about you. It's not about how good you are. Not about how good a salesman you are. It's data. And then we can improve that data. We can pull on levers that bring our percentages up and improve our metrics. But fundamentally, we need the data. So the more people we bring in, the quicker it is to track that data. And then a final thought is just to consider, rather than going straight for a membership, what is the right model for your business? Is a membership serving your customers in the right way? Would a group program be better? Should there be a start and finish point? Do you need a program at the beginning to lead people into the membership? Do you need an upsell for the memberships? So someone recently is working with me at the moment, and she has a higher level offer. So she has a membership, and then she has a kind of one-to-one, more of a one-to-one offer that sits above that, that is higher ticket. Now, when she launched that offer, she didn't want to sell it to her members, but we talked about it. And the way I described this to her was imagining that someone like Taylor Swift, she brings out her album and she lets people buy it. But then when she launches her stadium tour, she doesn't go to the people that have bought the album and ask them if they want the stadium tour. That would be crazy. But that's what this person was going to do. She was thinking, well, they've already joined the membership. They won't want to pay for the one-to-one. But actually, they are your ideal clients. They are your hot tickets. They are the people that are most likely to upgrade and work with you. So consider, if revenue is a goal of yours, if you have the membership, who could you pull out of that membership and upgrade them, up-level them, give them a better result, pull them out into a group program? Your membership might be your low-ticket offer, but it might not be your only offer. So consider the model, consider your retention plan, consider your scale, your offer ladder. It may be that you've got that membership, but you don't need to stick with just that membership. So I hope that by listening to this, you have at least started to get a little bit clearer on what might not be working in your membership and what you could change, what you could improve, and, you know, where to go next. Hopefully you've got some options. I would love to direct you, if you'd like more help on this, to my free training. This training is going to walk you through the model for your business, what the best model for you is, how to create something that people really want to pay for, how to do that without relying on constant posting or a huge audience. So if you would like more help with this, then I'm going to put a link below to my latest free training. It's completely free. You can listen to it on demand. So when you click on it, it will be live. If you're not ready to watch it in that moment, then feel free to still register and you'll get sent the replay. But if you would prefer to watch it live, then you absolutely can just register at the point when you're ready. So enjoy. I hope you have a lovely bank holiday Monday, and I will be back again next week. Thank you so much for listening. As always, it's been great to be here. Take care. Thanks, guys. Thanks for tuning in to Scaling Wellness. If you found today's episode valuable, I'd love to hear from you. Connect with me over on Instagram at Caroline Kopp and drop me a DM and let me know what your biggest takeaway was. Or if you know a friend or colleague in wellness who would find this podcast useful, I'd love you to share this episode with them, or maybe tag it in your socials. It might be just what they need to hear today as well. And finally, if you are enjoying the podcast, don't forget, please rate and review. It helps more wellness professionals like you to discover the show and ultimately allows us as a community to grow the wellness message and help more people. So until next time, remember, the problem you solve for your clients still exists. So keep sharing your wellness message.